reimbursement. And so what a blessing that is. And thank you for joining us tonight, Calvary. Thank you for your faithfulness. And anybody else who may be joining us tonight, friends or family, we thank you as well. And we're going to do like we always do. We're just going to dive right into our prayer request. And then we're going to have a moment of prayer. And then we'll bring the message, the lesson tonight that God has put upon our heart. And so some of the prayer requests we want to share with you this evening. Let's continue to remember the Martins tonight. They are doing much better. And so we praise the Lord for that. Brother Harold Dolph is home from the hospital, and he's doing some better. And so we're continuing to remember Brother Harold. And let's remember, of course, all of these on our prayer list. Arnold McCrickard, he's at home recovering. Let's remember Melissa Slagle, Miss Mary Rich. Let's remember the children's home. Let me just say that our Youth Sunday, this coming up Sunday, is canceled. And so the children's home, they are, as of right now, they are in quarantine, on lockdown for a couple more weeks. And so let's pray for them and their safety in school. Let's pray for the staff and all of those that help out at the children's home. And let's remember Brother Allen, Sister Terry Clayton, and Lauren and Rhett Hancock, her mother Patty, Ceylon and Catherine Plemons. A special prayer request for Miss Catherine's mother Marge. She has not been feeling well for a while now, but past couple weeks, Miss Catherine has certainly been there more than she has because of some other things that are transpiring with her mother. So please pray for her when you pray. James and Shirley Townsend, Jim and Don Daly. Let's remember James Daly, the Teagues, Connie's brother Bill tonight in our prayers. Miss Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Miss Barbara Anderson there at the Powder Springs Rehabilitation Center. And I encourage you, if you haven't had opportunity yet, don't miss out on a blessing going to see her. And it is certainly a blessing. And it's a window visit, of course. It's on the outside of her room. And all the information on that is in our bulletin. Or you can contact me for info. Let's remember Rusty and Chris Watkins, Joe and Lynn Vandiver, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely. Of course, we know that Brother Randy's mother went home to be with the Lord just a short time ago. But let's continue to remember Miss Diane Ely and her brother and the cancer that he has. Ed and Marianne Sandvi, Jeff and Sharon Hodges, their son-in-law Chris, Cassie Karanovich, Gerald and Francis Carroll, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Eddie and Joanne Rich, of course, Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, and Eli. Let's remember all of our shut-ins tonight, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and some others out there that that might be shut in. James Tolan Brown, which is our Marine, and Kim Merritt, good friend of ours who is battling cancer over at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And so again, this coming up Sunday was going to be our Youth Sunday, but the home is using extreme precaution, and of course we are as well to church, and so we want to maintain that, and before too long we'll be back together with them and worshiping the Lord. So we will go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight, and I hope you've had a good week, but I hope that you're looking forward to God's word tonight. We want to be a help, and we want to be a blessing to you. So let's pray, and we'll dive right into God's word. Heavenly Father, tonight we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful that we can call on you, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can call you Father as the model prayer in the book of Matthew. Lord, we know those first words are, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And we're thankful tonight that we can call you our Father. And so tonight, our Father, we pray for all of these on our prayer list. All of those who have been battling COVID, who have family members. Just got a message from Mary Kelly, and her family has been exposed to it. So she's staying home for a while. Lord, we just pray for all of those that's been touched by this horrible virus. We pray for healing, Lord. We pray for understanding. We pray for strength to continue on in spite of opposition. Tonight, we pray for those who are battling cancer. And Father, we pray that your healing hand would be applied to their life, that you would be real to them during their time, Lord, of darkness. God, tonight, we pray for America. We pray for our land. We pray, Lord, that you would, dear God, just move and work and operate things, Lord, that seems best to you. Lord, no matter what's taking place in our land, no matter what we see with our eye, Lord, we are choosing to look at the things which are not seen, the things which are eternal, Lord, that are in heaven. But Father, while we're here, we pray that you'd give us boldness to be your witnesses during these last days and give us grace to continue on. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are and for what you do. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, you'll be with all the members and all the friends and family of the members. And Lord, we're also thankful for the cross of Calvary, because without the cross, we wouldn't even be standing here preaching the word. We love you tonight. We thank you. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Tonight we're going to be in the New Testament book, of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And we want to mention some things out of 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians 16, and we want to read two verses, and that is verse number 8 and verse number 9. And we would like to be a help and a blessing to you this midweek Wednesday, being on Wednesday, and hopefully you'll get something from the Word tonight. And if you do, then we would accomplish our mission. And so tonight I want you to notice, if you would, out of 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Paul had organized a collection in this chapter, a collection to be taken up for the poor that were in Jerusalem. And let me say that many churches were involved in this collection. In verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So we know tonight that Galatia was the church of Galatia. The Galatians, we know that they were involved in this collection for the poor saints there in Jerusalem. But also Macedonia were involved in this collection. Verse number 5, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia." And now in our chapter, chapter 16, we have the Corinthians that are involved in this collection. Again, verse number 1, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." And he gets into that in verse number 2, laying up on the first day of the week, as God has prospered us, laying up in store. And so we see tonight that this chapter has to do with Paul organizing a collection and involving many, many churches. During Paul's planning to go to Corinth, he stops at Ephesus, and God uses him greatly there. In fact, you can go back and read, and we'll be in this chapter in this book that I'm about to mention tonight. But in Acts 19, you'll have much of the details of Paul's stop at Ephesus. And so we have Paul literally on his way to Jerusalem, but he's passing through Macedonia. He's going to make a stop at Corinth and continue on till he gets there. But as he is as he is moving forward with his plan, he stops at Ephesus. And God, again, he greatly uses him there. Tonight, I want to take that thought, that idea, and I want to speak to you for a few moments on this subject. Paul's success at Ephesus. Paul's success at Ephesus. What happened at Ephesus? What was it that Paul was successful about? What took place there? Well, tonight, again, I want to look into verse number 9 more specifically. And I want to mention some elements that that surrounded Paul's success at Ephesus. And I believe tonight that the things we're going to mention are very applicable to us today. And we can glean many things from Paul's trip to Ephesus and how he was successful. Tonight I want to mention, first of all, we see when it comes to Paul's success at Ephesus, Paul took advantage of opportunities. Notice in verse number 9 what he says. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. He mentions the word great, first of all. He says, for a great door was opened unto me. Now, this word great has to do with opportunity. Great door has to do with opportunity, and it has to do with access. And so as Paul is going along, had pre-planned for a collection there in Jerusalem, was going to stop by Corinth for collections. He made a stop here in Ephesus because there was an open door there. There was opportunity there. What kind of opportunity was there? Well, Ephesus was a very populated place. Ephesus, at the same time, not only was it a very populated place, but many worshipped the goddess Diana there at Ephesus in the temple. This dedicated temple to the goddess Diana. And so as you can see with this population there at Ephesus being many, and that there's this false god that's worshipped named Princess Diana. Well, this was ample opportunity for Paul to preach the gospel and win souls to Jesus. Now, I want to say this, that Paul took advantage of this opportunity because he was open for God's will. You see, he was heading in one direction as planned, but yet he stops at Ephesus, and the Lord allows him to see the need for the gospel to be preached there. The Lord allows him, Paul, to see the great population that was there at Ephesus. The Lord allowed Paul to see the temple that was erected to the goddess Diana. And so while Paul was in motion to go to Jerusalem, he was also taking advantage along the way of this opportunity. He was open for God's will. Now, tonight, he was heading toward Corinth, yet God parked him at Ephesus a while. Paul was sensitive and open for God and his will. Let me say tonight that you and I, as we serve the Lord and really as we live our life from day to day, let us be people who are sensitive to God's will. I mean, we may be working on something. We may be heading in one direction, you know, as we do and we're sure of. But let us not cancel out the fact that God could change our course at any time. And God can allow us to be detoured on another mission. We could be going this way, but then God may have us taking a detour going another way. And tonight we need to be like Paul and be open for God's will, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And so he was going to Jerusalem, making some stops, collecting the collections that were taken up, and yet God opened a great door of opportunity here at Ephesus. Now, you remember in Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26, the story of Philip and the eunuch? You remember when Philip was in Samaria, and he was preaching, and people were getting saved? There was a great revival taking place there. Things were happening there in Samaria. But all of a sudden, as Philip was on the path that he knew he was to be on, the angel of the Lord in Acts 8 verse number 26 appeared unto him and told Philip to go south. He told him to go south, to change courses. And we know the story that there was a eunuch there that needed help to understand the scriptures. And to make a long story short, he got saved. And tonight what we see out of that is that God changes courses. And Philip, he was obedient to that visit from the angel of the Lord. And while things were happening where he was at, yet God called him to another direction just for one soul. You and I, we go through times in life, and we may be at a place, it may be a job, it may be a certain situation. Things may be going well in a particular area. And God just might change courses on us because he has something he wants to get accomplished somewhere else. And so tonight, let us be sensitive. Let us be sensitive tonight to the leading of God. Be sensitive tonight to how God directs and how God guides. So back in our verses this evening, 1 Corinthians 16, in verse number 9, we see that Paul took advantage of opportunities. And that was one reason why Paul was so successful at Ephesus. If you and I are going to be people of success, and what I mean by that is a success, biblical success, is just basically obeying the Lord, doing what he wants us to do and going where he wants us to go. And so if we're going to be successful, we too need to take advantage of opportunities. We need to be willing and be open and not so fixed and married to a particular situation. I'm not talking about spouses there. Let me get that straight. But fixed and cemented to a certain situation or a certain place. But let us always be pliable and ready to make a step of faith if we have to. That's what happened to Paul. He was successful at Ephesus, but he was successful because he took advantage of opportunities that the Lord had for him. Now, there's a second thing I want to mention this evening. When it comes to Paul's success at Ephesus, not only Paul took advantage of opportunities, but number two, we see in this verse that Paul was part of operations. He was part of operations. Let me explain. In verse number 9, notice that second part. He says, "For a great door and effectual," meaning effectual door, "is opened unto me." And so now Paul is not just talking about the width, so to speak, of the door, the ministry opportunity, the things that were going on in Ephesus where God wanted to use him. Not only it was a great door, but it was an effectual door. Basically, the word effectual, it speaks of God working. In fact, the word effectual can also be interpreted activity or active, operative, good effects, good results. It just simply means that Paul says it was a great door, but it was an effectual door. God was working through that door. God was saving souls there. He was doing something there. Now, this great door was an effectual door, which speaks of activity or active or being operable. Good effects means God was working. People were getting saved. Demons were being cast out of people there. People were being healed. Idols were being demolished. And churches were being built. All of this was taking place at Ephesus. So not only it was a great door, speaking of population and opportunity, but it was an effectual door, meaning that things were taking place in that door. There were things taking place at Ephesus. In fact, in one verse in Acts chapter number 19. In fact, if you have a moment, turn to Acts 19. Let me just spend a little time here. In Acts chapter number 19, we see that that Paul was being used of God here. And in verse number 11, now let me clarify. We only believe that there's one miracle worker, one healer, and that's the Lord. And so some of these gifts of healing and miracles are no longer on the table as far as being used like they were with the apostles, because it vindicated their apostleship, so they were able to perform miracles and such. But in verse number 11, just to give you an idea what was going on, in verse number 11 of Acts 19, the Bible says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them." That's what I was talking about, that gift that is discontinued. "And the evil spirits went out of them." Now look at verse number 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." So let me just stop here and say this. We have some that were trying to cast out devils because they seen Paul do it. Now listen to this. Verse number 14, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" These evil spirits recognized the power that belonged to Jesus. They recognized the power that Paul displayed, but they were like, "Who are these guys? Who are you? You don't have no power." Verse number 16, listen, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Wow, what a picture in Ephesus. These guys, they literally tried to cast out devils they had no power to do. And the evil spirits literally leaped out of a man and overcame them and prevailed. And they went running out of the house with no clothes on. This is really painting a picture of a lot of activity here. But you keep on reading and you find out that God used Paul to preach here. And some of these same people that the devils and the demons came out of, they trusted Jesus as their Savior. And many others did as well. But then there's a man in verse number 24 by the name of Demetrius. Demetrius, he was a silversmith. And so this man, Demetrius, being a silversmith, in verse number 24, he made silver. He made silver shrines, in fact, for Diana. So Paul was in Ephesus, and Paul was preaching, and Paul was leading people to Jesus, and people weren't buying those shrines anymore. And so now this man, Demetrius, he gets together in verse 25, other workmen in like manner, and they go after Paul. And you follow that all the way through, and just all kinds of things taking place here in the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Yet God was operating. God was doing amazing things there. And again, that word effectual, it means to be effective. It means active or operable or operative. And it means that God was working. People were getting saved and demons were being cast out. People were healed and idols were demolished. Churches being built. Now I want you to listen to this. By the time Paul left, the Ephesians fell on his neck, some of them did, and kissed him. They were sad that they would not see him anymore. And you can find that over in chapter number 20, in verse number 37 and 38, how that Paul's time was done. And he was getting ready to go and leave Ephesus, and he would be back no more. And they were sad. Look at verse number 37, Acts 20. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Isn't that something? God worked at Ephesus so much that many of these folks that were demon possessed, that were offered idols to Diana, by the time Paul's ministry was done in Ephesus, they were sad. They had tears. They were falling on his neck and kissing him. They were so sad. God blessed. So we see that Paul was part of operations. Again, the scriptures say back in our verses, verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 16, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. So we see that Paul was part of operations. Let me say, when it comes to the Lord and the Lord working. And I was thinking about this today. You know, we haven't seen a lot of people get saved lately. You know, but here's one thing about it. When it comes to the Lord and the Lord working, Paul actually mentions this, and we'll read a specific verse in 1 Corinthians 3:6. But when it comes to the Lord being operative and working in the area, we don't always see his effects immediately, do we? We don't always see his effects immediately. We'll never really know how many lives that we've touched, that you've touched, that you haven't seen a result from. But let us tonight know that just because we may not see no evident result immediately, that doesn't mean that God's not working. The Lord, he works, and sometimes it takes a long time for him to work. In fact, Paul, he was at Ephesus right at 3 years. And so it took a long time for all of this to happen. That little bit that I just read to you, it took about 3 years to get accomplished. I think about 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6. Listen to this. And Paul, he is correcting the church of Corinth. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse number 4 down through 6, he says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Look at verse 6. I have planted, that's Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, tonight many people they try to gauge the success of a ministry based on fast, evident, you know, immediate fruit. But did you know that sometimes it takes a while for things to happen? I read where it takes 4 to 6 years for the time you plant a peach tree for the peaches to actually be produced. It takes a while. And based upon this verse here, verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians 3, that God has different plans for different people. You see, God, the Bible says, I have planted. So the Lord was using Paul to plant churches. But then he used Apollos to water in those areas. But then we know it was God that gave the increase. I'm convinced today, more now than ever, that I'm reaping benefits where other people have sowed. And my prayer is that one day others would reap benefits for where I have sowed. But what I'm saying is that God uses different ones to do different things. Being here at Calvary as the pastor, there's no doubt I'm reaping benefits of where Brother Snyder has sowed for years and Brother Ben has sowed for years. There is no doubt we have the kind of church we have, just a great church where we all feel like family. We all can talk to one another and share our burdens. And no doubt that's part of what's been sowed around here for a number of years. And it's my prayer that when my time comes and I leave, whenever that shall be, that others can reap during the time that I have sown here. You see. And so God uses, during his process of operations, he uses different people to do different things. It's not always immediate fruit. But if God does direct you in a certain location, if something takes place in your life where you're prayerful about making a change of a job or something like that, and you feel as though God is leading you, he has a plan for you there. And listen, it may not be immediate results. It may take time, and it may take, of course, it's going to take effort, but nonetheless, it'll be worth it. Paul was successful at Ephesus. And he tells us about operations. He says, for a great door, back in chapter 16, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And so he's just describing how God is working there at Ephesus. Let me mention one more thing tonight. When it comes to Paul's success at Ephesus, not only Paul was part of operations, and Paul took advantage of opportunities, but Paul encountered opposition. Look what it says. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let me say tonight, first of all, we set out to do anything for the Lord Jesus, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be struggle there. And there's going to be naysayers. But adversaries here. He says, and there are many adversaries. Adversaries speaks of anything that opposes you, anybody or anything that opposes you. So it speaks of opposition. It speaks of being withstood. It speaks of trying to be stopped. And so Paul is encountering in Ephesus opposition. He was successful at Ephesus, but yet there was opposition. Paul's preaching wasn't always accepted in Ephesus. I mentioned to you a moment ago, Demetrius. And I want to mention him again. Back in Acts chapter number 19, verse 24. Because Demetrius, again, he was a silversmith. And just notice in detail what he says. Acts 19 and verse number 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. More see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. How about that? Everyone didn't immediately accept the Lord. He had some pushback. He had opposition. By Paul's preaching, it stopped people from buying those idols. And this was their wealth. This was Demetrius and the other men, their way of living. And so there was opposition. And so we see that there. I've got to thinking about today about the book of Ezra. Listen to this phrase out of Ezra 4, verse number 5. And this phrase, in essence, says this, that there were counselors hired to frustrate their purpose. Counselors were hired to frustrate Ezra and his men, their purposes in building the temple. How about that? They were people that were trying to frustrate the work of God. I don't know if it was their lack of insecurity or if they were jealous or if it made them feel big to try to interfere with the work of God like that. But nonetheless, it was opposition. Ezra was experiencing pushback. You and I, when we serve the Lord, we will experience that from time to time. In Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 24, notice what the scriptures say. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, none of these things move me. You know, Paul was successful at Ephesus. And he was successful because he was unmovable. Listen, church, you may be experiencing something at home, opposition. You may be experiencing opposition at work or those that go to school. But stay with it. Stand your ground. Let the Lord fight your battles for you. And it'll be totally worth it. You'll see in the end that you'll be successful because you stood your ground. You stayed where you knew God wanted you to be at. And you didn't let no kind of opposition, no kind of anything that was in the way to slow you down, to stop you. I think about the old church hymn, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. What a blessing that song is. Paul, if you look back in 1 Corinthians 16 and just back up to the previous verse, which is 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58, Paul says this when it comes to opposition. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says when it comes to opposition and when it comes to being successful in God's economy, he says just stay with it. Just hang in there. Just stick with it. He says God will enable you to overcome. So tonight we see that Paul encountered opposition. We see that Paul was part of operations. And then we looked at first this evening, Paul took advantage of opportunities. The lesson tonight was just simply this, Paul's success at Ephesus. And again, let me just say before we close in prayer that what is Bible success? Well, I would define it as obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. Doing whatever the Lord has asked you to do. Me doing whatever the Lord has asked me to do. And staying there. Staying put. Not being movable, although there's opposition at times. But keep on keeping on, because somebody out there needs to hear a word, and God is working. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. And Lord, I pray tonight that your word would take root in the hearts of your people, as it did myself today. Lord, help us to always strive and stride toward the mark of the prize, just living for you. Use us, Lord, in a very mighty way. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. I pray you'll continually use us here. And I pray that you'll bless us doubly this coming up Sunday morning for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you all. Everyone have a wonderful night. And the good Lord willing, we'll be back here 11 a.m. Sunday morning. God bless.